Go ahead and start. It's 7 o'clock. Welcome to the Board of Trustees meeting for the Yorkville Public Library. It's July 11th, 2022, 7 p.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Milshewski?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Millen?
Here.
Reifsteck?
Here.
Schumacher? Is absent?
Say here.
Okay.
Here. Okay.
All right, Shim?
Here.
And Pasola is absent.
Okay, and let's see, we have Mike,
yep.
Judy, and Daniel, and Shelly. Correct? Let's see, and are there any amendments to the agenda? No presentations, I take it. Okay, so can we go through the minutes? And approved, so we have, I believe, three, maybe four. So we have Board of Trustees from last month, Personnel Committee meeting, and a Fiscal Facilities meeting, and a second Personnel Committee meeting. I'll make a motion that we adopt the Board of Trustees minutes from July 13th or June 13th, the Personnel Committee meeting minutes on June 20th, the Fiscal Facilities Committee meeting minutes on June 28th, and the Personnel Committee meeting minutes on June 29th.
Second.
Okay. Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifsteck?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
And Milshewski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any correspondence?
Yes. I included it in the packet. On page 15 is a letter from the Office of the Secretary of State. Letting us know that we were awarded the FY 2022 per capita grant in the amount of $31,761.18. We should probably be expecting to see that money drop into our accounts in August, next month.
Okay.
They're required, I believe, to have them sent by August 30th, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I sent that over to the city, and Rob said that this was a 30% increase from last year because we are using the 2020 census population. So,
okay.
And it's paid based on population.
Any public comment? Can we have the Friends of the Library report?
Our meeting this morning really focused pretty much on the book sale coming up over Labor Day weekend, and I'm just going to pass these around in case any of you are interested in volunteering. One page is for the setup dates. On Tuesday, the 30th of August, we will move all the tables and chairs and get things ready, but then at 3 o'clock the high school kids come over. We have a group, they're in the weight training group, and they come over and move the boxes that are everywhere, and they move those to the right tables. And then the next day, on the 31st, we have a group of people, we want you to sign up if you are able, that unpack all the boxes and set things out on the tables. So we're looking for help with setup and the day of the event. 2 days. That's Saturday the 3rd and Sunday the 4th. If you could help with that, that would be appreciated. Thank you. It's a big fund. It's one of our big fundraisers. Mm-hmm.
Any staff coming?
So, for those of you that haven't met Mike Curtis, he is our new Director of Adult Services. Mike has been with the library for over 2 years now, but I will let him introduce himself and tell us a little bit about him. But I will tell you that he has hit the ground running, and he's already bringing computer classes to the library next month, which is something that we have been wanting to do for a very long time for seniors. So I had a little half sheet, you guys will see that there. But he's also created a survey just to find out what our patrons are looking for as well. So, wonderful. So go ahead.
Well, Shelley already said everything interesting about me. My name is Mike Curtis. I live here in Yorkville. I've been in this area my entire life. As I told the Friends of the Library this morning, my great-great-great-grandfather owned a farm that is now Silver Spring State Park, and we've been here ever since. So I'm really excited to take on a larger role here at the library. For the last almost 20 years, I was a teacher, so I think I'm still kind of in the same world. It's just my classroom got much bigger. And I kind of look at the community as the folks that I need to help reach, and just going to do the best I can to find what everybody needs, because I do believe that the library has something for everybody. We just have to figure out how to make sure they know that too.
And I want to add that Mike is he's the staff person in charge, in his position, in charge of a lot of the adult programs. And in that position, he takes part in those, including chair yoga. And he does chair yoga with the rest of us. We're so happy to have the male there. So, guys, if you would like to join us.
I'm out.
Brett, thanks.
Giggling just like my sons did when I told them that.
He can tell you it's good.
It is. It's fantastic. Earlier today, I did this, and it didn't hurt. So, you know, I'm almost 50 years old, and I can bend, not the left one, but the right one. So, give me another month of chair yoga, and we'll see what the left leg can do.
Great.
He does a great warrior pose, too, so.
Okay.
Your eyes are supposed to be closed.
Okay. Let's see. So, I guess let's go over our financial statements.
Can I highlight anything?
Sure.
Okay. So, my credit card bill is big again. because I pay the bills with the credit card, so we get the points. So you'll see the chamber membership yearly is on there. Anything from Amazon that says books is actually our science STEM kit materials, and I'll talk about that in my director's report a little bit more. There's a $966 charge for DEMCO, and that is for our annual program registration online software. We also, you'll see one for United Rentals. That was to pay for the portable AC unit that we had to rent when our tech, our server room AC went out. And on page 20 is a Tribune subscription as well. Let's see. The Paracat check that is on page 21, that is our quarterly fee for membership with our Paracat Consortium. On page 22, there is an RJ O'Neill charge for repairs for compressor slide control. And WebLinks for $200 is their update on our website for software updates.
Report. So we're at the beginning, well, in our second month, right? Third month of the new year.
Second month,
yeah. Just completed the second. Then I'll make a motion that we pay our bills for accounts payable of $11,332.34, and for fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23, I guess services and fees of $21,700. Anyway, are these all included, accounts payable and the fiscal years? Is that all one? That's all one sum? Oh, okay. Well, then.
A lump sum.
That's a lump sum. Okay. Then we need to retract. Let's pay our bills for accounts payable of $21,708.58, and then for payroll of $42,699.42 for a total disbursement of $64,408 even.
Second.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstech?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimp?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
And Crawford?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. We have the report of the library director.
So we are in the second half of our summer reading program, and things are going crazy busy with the kids. Our STEM kits from the grant that we received for circulating STEM kits, we were able to put together 30 kits, and they're checked out. There usually is about six or seven left on the shelf when they come in and out. Staff, not as pleased with it because they have to count all the little pieces when they come back. So that's, we're still working out the kinks with that one. Pieces that might get lost, and so, but kids are loving it. We had our Illinois Storm Chasers in June, and we had over 30 people attend that one. That was sponsored by the Friends of the Library, and we had our last two Illinois Libraries Present virtual programs for this 2022 year. It will start back up in September with Marley Matlin as the guest speaker, and it will run through June of 2023. And we've committed again this year to be part of that, and the Friends are picking up the sponsorship on that one for us, so thank you again, friends. We have the Mobile Museum of Tolerance rolling through the library on July 5th and stay till July 8th. And we had 140 people attend that, so I thought that was wonderful. I reached out to our Kendall County Board, our Congress people, the school, the police department, the city departments, and invited everyone to come, and if they couldn't come, to at least share that information. So it was shared with quite a few people. And then we had a local realtor come through and do a video, and so she posted that online. So she interviewed me and the woman that was running the museum as well. So we got to see the inside of it. So I thought that was very nice.
It was.
That helped us out by doing that. We are in the throes of getting ready for Harry Potter. So we're having 5 different programs this month to supplement that. We are doing a portrait craft where the kids are going to create portraits and we're going to hang them on the grand staircase. We're going to do a wand craft and a potion craft this month. And we are also inviting the executive director, Mark, from the Stillman Nature Center in South Barrington to come, and he's going to bring raptors and talk about owls. I don't think he's bringing an owl. But
you said raptors.
Yeah,
raptors.
Yeah,
it's
a dinosaur.
Sounds dangerous.
Not velociraptor.
No. And then Michelle from Petite Palette is coming, and she will have the participants create an 8x10 portrait. And I guess it's going to be saying, waiting for my Hogwarts letter. So when people sign up for the program, they get an email back saying, congratulations, you've been accepted into Hogwarts. And that's just their notification to show up for the party in the program. Let's see here. Get ready for kindergarten with the Yorkville School District is hosting 2 programs in July with us. And at the end of July, July 27th, Mike is doing a program with a local artist and author, Winston Gambro. He's a talented graphic novelist. And so he will be talking at 5:30 to the children and teens about graphic novels and how he creates them. And then at 6:30 he'll be talking to the teens and adults more about, in depth, about publishing and sharing personal stories. As far as outreach is concerned, I attended a Rails City Library group meeting. This is a new collaborative group that's been created because there's not a lot of city libraries in the Rails system. So, because we're a unique entity, we're part of the city, but not part of the city. So, this was our second meeting, so it's just been interesting to hear other perspectives on that. So, I'll be learning more and sharing more with you guys. As far as the building goes, we were having issues with our lights. They were staying on outside, the building lights. I told you guys about this in January. Well, they have miraculously turned off now. And they're turning off and on a regular basis. So Ted doesn't know.
Oh, wow.
He scratches his head.
Hey, where you going? Gotta go by the library.
It's like kind of dark, it's closed. Don't know why.
Wow. So, it's someone labeled switch somewhere.
They're working. I have also emailed Eric Deuce from the city, asked about parking lot resurfacing, and he responded that the city is planning to do our lot this summer, probably before school starts. So, fingers crossed. And the Physical Facilities Committee will talk more about their meeting, so we won't talk about that. We had our backflow inspected for our yearly inspection. Ted was there for that as well. And I checked in on our cameras, our new security cameras that we're getting, and the hardware's been on order, and they said it's generally taking 5 weeks minimum for it to come in, so I'm hoping by next month we have a date set for install. Let's see. We interviewed 4 people for the director of adult services position, and we hired Mr. Curtis there, so he's been doing wonderful, like I said. And he did not tell you that he has experience with traveling with his students to 35 countries with over 500 students. Yes. So, yeah. Maybe he'll tell you more about that some point. And we had a part-time person give notice when they went to another library to work. We had to fill that position along with Mike's part-time position. So we interviewed 4 potential people for that, which all four were great. We did end up hiring 2 part-time people, and we're still waiting on background checks for them. So they will be starting as soon as possible. Tim and Shay from the Parks and Rec Department and I interviewed 2 people last week for the marketing communications shared position, and we hope to have an offer letter to a potential next week, maybe, pending city approval. So, more to come with that. And then I wanted to just bring attention to I made some copies and starting this monthly statistics report. So this is a back-to-back, so it has May and June. And it's just showing you this current year's numbers, and it's comparing it to last year, 2021, and whether it's a percentage change up or down, just so you can get a glance. And in your packet, I shared the program page for kids and adults. So on page 23 is this really nice looking July program. And this is something that Mike has put together. It's very eye-catching.
No, I saw it.
Very nice. Very nice. And then he also created the flyer on page 45 and 46. And this was just a supplement for the Tolerance Museum. And these are all books that we have on our shelves.
Standing committees. Let's see. I guess we're going to start with personnel.
We got
to
elect.
Wait a minute. Did I pass some?
Officer elections. Elect officers.
Well, the standing committees, we won't report them until we go into
session. That's true.
I can just say that we had 2 meetings about the director's evaluation, which we will go over.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm jumping
The personnel committee had two meetings to go over the director's evaluation, which we will discuss in executive session.
And then physical facilities. We had a meeting. So I guess takeaways from that. First of all, our strategy is basically we're going to, from what I understand, unless you want to report it.
I can report and then you fill in.
Sure.
But actually, it's almost a conversation with Shelley. So what we met on the 28th, Steve, how do you say it, Raj. Our facility manager was at the meeting, so we relied on his expertise pretty heavily. But, you know, our chiller is an air-cooled unit. lifespan is 20 years if you maintain the unit. And we had some issues with cottonwood and some other things kind of going on. So the chiller's gone down a few times over the years. But more recently, we had an issue that Shelley talked about last month with a potential valve repair. So Steve was going to reach out to RJ O'Neill. I don't know if that's happened, but...
I have that in the unfinished business to talk about. Can I talk about it now?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's all part of the update. So, I mean, it's the main reason we met was the chiller. Mm-hmm. But I think the conclusion was we're going to reach out to an engineering firm, possibly get them on board to do some evaluating and recommendations. But kind of we will need that to do an RFP eventually to procure a new unit. So whether it's, you know, I think 8 months was the lead time on chillers, so we may miss next year. So there's a lot of things going on within that meeting specific to the chiller. We also talked about the IT room. That unit's old as well. We spent a lot of money on it to repair it this year at an emergency basis, but those are far less expensive, you know, probably under $10,000, but something we would want to move to replace, I think.
We bought a spot cooler for that, just in case.
The temporary, yeah.
Temporary.
Mm-hmm. We did.
But the big cost is refrigeration, which is probably tripled. That's the old refrigerant, so it's expensive, and it's eventually won't be able to get it. So that's another thing we discussed. We talked about the LED light upgrade we had looked at about a year ago or so. With doing that, Steve gave us some insight on the energy program, which normally we get some kind of rebates through ComEd. One little detail is that I think that the cost is, we may not be paying it, but it's not necessarily a free program. So it's something for us to really consider with lighting upgrades, and LEDs would brighten the building, make it more modern. We talked about the seal coating and striping, and that's really a priority. So I think if we can get commitment from the city that they're going to do it, you know, our concern is just not doing it. The parking lot can degrade over time. That's a maintenance item, not just to look nice. So that's important to protect our asset. We also touched on a 3 to 5 year plan as well for the building, you know, looking at, Steve gave us kind of ASHRAE guidelines as far as how long equipment should last. You know, these are published information, not opinion. So it kind of gives us a sense of what we can project down the road and also look at, you know, when our bonds are up and, you know, how to fund future repairs. So I think it's just being proactive. You know, we've maybe been more reactive, you know, over the years, and now it's time to look ahead. 20 years is kind of a milestone for any building. So that's
okay.
Going off memory for the most part.
And I believe, I think maybe you said it, but our strategy is basically that, you know, even though we've had some significant repairs, is that we are going to keep going instead of trying to replace it immediately. Right. So
I think that was... Yeah, I think that was, I mean, the engineer would be necessary regardless, so I think that's kind of checking a box, getting, you know, information. And I think, you know, I do want to stress that we always see costs and they seem like a lot of money. We're comparing it to our house. You know, this is not a home. If you look at the cost to build a building, the maintenance cost has got to be in line with that. So I think, you know, as a board and looking at financing, we want to make sure that we have money for repairs, and then what's our strategy when it's time to replace. And the chiller is Steve agreed, that was, you know, the really big item. A lot of the other things are smaller, more available, can be repaired versus, you know, this is a, you know, very big item to replace. And we need it. It's not something that's nice to have.
Okay. Let's see. So that was our unfinished business also.
She's gonna go.
Well, I have a little bit more to add to the unfinished business. So
okay.
After that meeting, Steve reached out to me, and he said that before we would proceed, they would need the mechanical and electrical drawings for the chiller. So that's what I was doing tonight, was taking pictures of all the blueprints so I could send them. And he gave me two firms that we could reach out to, and he also created a, how did he call it? Engineer scope of work.
That's this one? Yeah.
Engineer scope of work. Mm-hmm. So this is what we would send to these two potentials. Mm-hmm. He also talked to Kevin. He's our account exec at RG O'Neill. So he could get a better understanding of the large repair that we were talking about needing to do. And he asked RG O'Neill if they had done a quote for this repair yet. And they claimed they were waiting for direction from the city. So Steve had asked them to send him the quote. So they're supposed to be quoting the repair out. Mm-hmm. But he also, and he also said that RG O'Neill said that they plan to have someone from Dakin Way on site, that's the manufacturer of the chiller, because if they were awarded the work, because they have never replaced a gasket like this. So based on this, Steve recommends that we hire Acatelli, I hope that's how it's said, Heating and Plumbing to come out and look at the chiller before we spend a lot of money, so basically getting a second opinion. Mm-hmm. He says obviously they will charge, and he said let him know if you would like him to contact them. So the price he guesstimates to be about $4,000 to $5,000 for a second opinion. Just so you know.
To come look at.
Just to look.
Yeah.
Looking.
Wow.
Bart had asked. Bart was CC'd in on this email as well, and he asked, and that's the number that Steve threw out there.
Just to look at the chiller. Where did RJ O'Neill charge us to with all the...
They haven't quoted it yet.
Okay.
But they were going to quote the repair. This.
They were going to quote the repair. This is...
This is just a look at the unit.
Maybe some kind of diagnostics?
I would assume, like, yes.
So it's a diagnostic?
$5,000?
We need no more.
Yeah. Unless it's someone that they have $500.
Okay.
Last week, Steve said something about a company that we used to use with an old director, that they were frustrated, there wasn't good communication or something, and so they no longer wanted to do business. Mm-hmm. Would they reconsider, since I just got the feeling that they were more affordable?
Mm-hmm. Which company?
I don't know.
Trico.
Yeah, would that be like a repairable relationship, or would it be worth it?
Just to ask them. Would they come out and what would the price be for them to come out and if they do this service also? You know, take a look at it.
For a second opinion?
Yeah.
Just give us a quote. Don't say yes, how much.
It would be nice if he would have talked to this other company to get not pull it on top.
Because I think he say at the meeting that he's never worked with RJ O'Neill before, that he's only worked with...
This one, R2.
Correct. I know the city works with Trico.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do know that.
It might be worth reaching out to Trico to see.
A relationship with them in the past. Mm-hmm.
Has anyone talked to the manufacturer to find out if they have any recommendations in the area?
RJ O'Neill talked to...
Dakin.
And they're the ones that pointed to that gasket that they feel needs to be replaced.
You're saying as far as who to do the work?
Maybe they work with a company.
Right.
That's a good idea.
Right?
I mean, Dakin or Trico, either one.
Mm. Yeah.
on both.
Both. Just to see if we get a better price contract.
So I'm not sure why. I would assume Steve is recommending this company because he's worked with them. So,
but maybe they used that in last week.
Oh,
yeah.
Because it goes between July and August. Yeah, I'm like what.
Yeah.
I like your suggestion.
Said going back to they can see if they can recommend someone first. And then going back to Trico,
I think the thermal systems is the Dakin rep.
That's what it was back then? Before we switched up to Colonial?
So Dakin is a manufacturer, you have to buy them through rep.
So is that where the McQuay comes from?
I think that's. But I think thermal systems, like if you're buying equipment in Chicago, you usually have to go through them, or there's a couple others.
A dealer?
So they may be the person to call, but I mean, they've got to deal with everyone. I think Steve's saying someone he knows and trusts, but he didn't seem to have an issue with Trico.
Yeah, in the meeting, he didn't seem to have an issue with Trico.
Just because he knows and trusts them doesn't mean they're familiar with Dakin.
If they're buying an air-cooled chiller, you don't have a lot of options. So, but I would want someone who's already, I wouldn't go to a doctor who's never done something.
Right.
I feel like that's kind of what we're doing. I didn't know they hadn't done this.
Yeah.
Maybe this is more of a, I don't know. I think it's good to know.
So you're saying talk to Dakin and see if there's an authorized repair.
If this was under warranty from Dakin, this is a brand new unit and it's failed, who would do the work? Who would they call?
I like that. Yeah. That makes sense.
They wouldn't call RJ O'Neill. Nothing against them. They've been great, I think, for our service work and maintenance, and I don't think there's a problem there. It's just, this is not a typical failure.
Type issue.
A lot of times if it's under warranty, they send someone out to do it. Some like a company that they normally work with.
Somebody's
done it before.
Right.
Well, it might even come down to what if that's not the problem and they know something else about it.
Yeah.
That's true.
But so RJ O'Neill diagnosed this original issue, but it wasn't a Dakin tech.
No.
Because
they talked over the phone
to Dakin, and Dakin determined that was the issue through RJ O'Neill.
Yes.
I would say Trico or.
I'd say see if Dakin has an authorized, repair company. Somebody that can come out and look at this.
I know the guy that used to work on the unit.
For Trico?
No, I think he works. He was like the startup guy for Dakin, but he worked on his building. I met him in the city. He knew exactly where I lived. He'd been to the library, work on the chiller, like recently.
Okay.
Years ago.
So what are we deciding at? Shelly's waiting for her. For our direction.
We have a lot more questions.
Yeah.
Do we all agree that what Lindsay had mentioned about and what Sue mentioned, either or both?
I'd say both.
Both.
Yeah.
So Dakin, authorized repair company dealer, and Trico, since they were in the previous maintenance.
Is there anything else on this topic?
That's just the repair. If we move forward with a replacement, then
this is the process.
Those two engineering firms are the ones that.
Right.
So that's for the repair.
Okay.
All right. So then I guess on to new business.
Okay.
All right. Election of officers and set committees. So.
That's what I was talking about.
That's what you were talking about. Like, no, like, we jumped. Yeah. Okay. So I guess basically we have one person that's elected to run for each office. And typically, we just do this through closed vote, right? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But we don't, I mean, that's how we did it before.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do it?
How do you want to do it?
We can do it that way. We can have it right now.
Or with just hands, if everybody's okay with hands. Or eyes, or yeses, or whatever.
Hands, eyes. Make it easy.
Okay, all right. So, all right, so I guess, so Jackie, you have put your foot in to the treasurer's all those in favor of Jackie being our treasurer?
Aye.
All right, unanimous. Okay, and then Rosie, you also put your foot into the secretary position. All right, all those in favor, Rosie? All right, excellent. And Theron, again, as vice president, all those in favor? And then,
myself.
I guess, as president. Thank you. Okay, that was
easy. That was easy.
That was easier than before. All right. So now for the new officers, Shelley will need to get information because the bank will need to have signatures.
Make a copy of your license for the city. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then eventually,
we'll do that after
they have to go sign.
Right, and then eventually we'll have to go over to Rob Fredrickson. We'll have to sign some papers. Mm-hmm. Over at City. Okay. All right. I guess now the committee. Probably want to retract the book. All right, so for committee assignments, so these are the new assignments. And then you have one. I give one. All right, and then I'll let Carrie know. Awesome. Okay, so pretty much it. Any questions over the committee assignments?
The last one?
Mm-hmm.
Which committee?
Oh, that's fiscal facilities.
That's what I was trying to come up with.
Sorry.
Physical
you.
Facilities.
Get the guess.
That means we can change it. No.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Okay, so next, non-resident fee for kids under 18.
Yes, this is on page 47 of your packet. So I had talked about this a month or two ago that this was coming down the line through the House and Senate and the governor. So this was passed, Public Act 102-0843 recently, and it basically amends the Local Library Act that it authorizes libraries to decide by resolution, I believe, adopting regulations that waives
the non-resident fee for kids under 18 to receive a library card for free. So this is something that's been in the works, and it's been a big push to make sure that kids, students have access to books and that. So it's not mandated, like the Cards for Kids Act is mandated. And the Cards for Kids Act is non-resident kids are issued library cards if they fall under a certain household economic level. So basically, if they are eligible for free and reduced lunch, they are eligible for a free library card if they are a non-resident. So that's a mandated law. This one is not mandated, so it gives the trustees the power to waive the fee or not. But it has not, the state has not created any administrative rules on this yet, nor has there been any guidance from the state library. So, and that is coming, that is forthcoming. It should be here, they say late summer, those guidance. So at this point, I would recommend that we just sit tight and wait for guidance and then move forward. Now, every year we have to let the state know we are participating in the non-resident card program, where we say, yes, we are going to offer non-residents opportunity to purchase a library card. This is different, but so this is something that we will have to do and decide as well. But like I said, I think we should wait for guidance and administrative rules to come out before we make a decision on if we're doing this. We'll have to be policed really well so that the entire family is not using the card. It is just for the students. So if we have non-resident people, adults, seniors, that would like a library card, they still have to purchase a library card. They can't use it if they have a child that's getting a free library card. So it comes with a lot of,
What's the cost? It's like a portion of your
tax. So every year you have to decide how you're going to do it. So there's a tax-based method, so you get a multiplier, and you multiply that number. That multiplier number is on your equalized assessed value of your home, and that determines your library card price. So it's level and even with what the city pays, city residents pay. You use the same multiplier. Or you can do a general mathematic formula, and with that you have to take your population and the amount of taxes that you receive, and then you have to take that, you have to divide that, and then you have to take that number times your average household. So it's in the census report, the average household for Yorkville is 3.1 or 3.2. So I kind of did the math on that, and it falls around 200, I can't remember off the top of my head, I'm going to say $275. So
for a card.
That's going to be a discussion in April again, how you want to do this. Mm-hmm. Because there are some people that pay for library card that are paying $600, $700, $800 for a card.
Who pays that?
Some people that live
based
in
on the
like,
taxes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it's like in Whitetail Ridge, houses like that. Their houses are valued higher, so their equalized assessed value number is going to be a higher number.
How many non-resident cards do you sell a year or give or whatever?
So in our budget, we budget for, and it's called subscription, library subscription cards. So on page 29, we budget $8,500 for the year that we anticipate getting based on the current method that we use.
What is it called again, Michelle?
Library subscription cards. So it's charges for service. It's under library operations.
Yes,
revenue.
I see.
So far this year, we've taken in $2,900 in subscription cards.
Do you have a breakdown on that for the cards that are they currently discounted? How did you explain that? You said we do charge if a family qualifies or if a student qualifies for a discounted rate.
If they're outside of the city limits and they would like a card and they fall under a threshold, the card for the student is free.
And that's started. Mandated by the
that's
state.
Mandated.
That's the state.
Do we know how many of those we have currently?
I think in the IPLA report I did 2 or 3.
Two or three cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For this last year.
And that would fall under the program that you're talking about that the state is rolling out?
No, that's different. Cards for Kids Act is different. That one's mandated. That one you have to offer those cards to those students.
Right.
This is
for all students, not just.
This is non-residents who normally purchase a card.
Right.
Can now, if they have a student, can get their student a free card.
But not anyone else.
So
that's gonna be hard to manage.
Yeah. So Joe Schmo comes in, he's invited to whatever way. Is it, when they purchase it, is it per person or do they purchase per person?
For themselves.
For the household.
Not
household.
Per family.
No.
Yeah. Oh. No. And each family member gets a card.
So it's from
that one house?
Per address.
Yes, per address.
Per address, okay. Mm-hmm. So the only thing with this new that they're rolling out is that the student would be able to get a free card, not the entire family.
Correct. If
right,
the
but the
family,
student could potentially
right, take give it to
advantage of the services, mm-hmm. and then the family doesn't have to pay anything because the student uses his or her card. Yeah.
And that would be hard to manage.
But this won't be a mandate. This would be something recommendation.
If
this
we
is
want
something
to.
That we would do as a
we would
board.
Decide.
We would have to decide if you want to do this or not. So that's why I say let's wait and see.
But the guy
is it state. Like a permanent decision, or is it something every year we have to
do? I believe it's every year. Just like the library.
Yeah.
Just
so
like the.
So we tried.
If we did it and we were cheaper, so like this is a bad idea, we should not do it.
That would be a hard thing to take back.
Like, a lot of people are abusing it.
Yeah, and that would be hard. I'm just thinking about how would you manage. I mean, you're going to ask everybody to show something. I mean, how would you manage that?
Right. If you have a child checking out a
yes.
mental book.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, well, then
that.
You
can't. You can't.
We get away with
that.
Right.
If she uses the service for himself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you flag the cards?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if they look like every other card.
Oh, that was.
So they can get it to their parents.
Yeah. I mean, that's we're not like a company like Netflix who is making money hand over fist. And they, I think it's okay to steal. I'm just saying that, you know, if it were Netflix, yes, this is just $2,900 is enough money that I would think that it's a significant.
It's a tough decision because.
No, I'm not, but isn't Netflix like charging people if they are on
access?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right.
No, I don't do that. I don't.
Well, let's see what the guy is
saying.
Because they'll come up with some great tools.
So in your IPLA report, you had 3 for Cards for Kids Act.
Thank you. And veteran was what?
And then the unexpired non-resident cards was 81.
Okay, so that's how many non-resident cards we had last year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
81.
So it went down.
Yeah.
We had 81 the previous year? Non-meds and cars, and then you had
the kids' cards.
Got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 81 non-resident cards that were purchased.
Got it.
Last year.
Mm-hmm. And 5 from the veterans.
All right. So, I guess.
I just included the IFLA report for you, for your perusal tonight, Henry.
I read it already.
Okay. Next, our favorite thing: review of executive session minutes. Fun time. Yeah, I know. So I make a motion that we go into executive session for the discussion of minutes of meeting lawfully closed under the Open Meetings Act, whether for purposes of approval by the body of the minutes or semi-annual review of the minutes as mandated by Section 2.06.
Second.
Roll call.
Excuse me. Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifke?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimpf?
Yes.
Milczewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
We're out of executive session, and we reviewed the library director's evaluation that was presented by the personnel committee. And I make a motion that we adopt the or approve the library director's evaluation that was presented in executive session.
With one minor change of goal number 4, instead of calculation of large land owners, non-residents to obtain library card.
So let's take a roll call on
that. Second.
Okay, second.
Okay. Okay. Schimpf?
Yes.
Milczewski?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Okay, then next I make a motion that we increase Shelley's salary by 4%. This would be retroactive to May 1st.
Second.
I'm way late.
Okay.
Jackie's good.
Milczewski.
She's good.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
And Schimpf.
Can I have these back?
Which one do you want to sell?
No,
okay. So, all right. So now that we're out of executive session, there is no other new business. So we are adjourned.
Thank you.